from Pioneer 90.1 KSRQ, Thief River Falls, Minnesota. This is Polka Profiles. Polka Profiles, a program dedicated to getting you, the listener, more acquainted with some of the acts that we feature on our HD radio service, the Pioneer Polka Cast. I'm Glenn Broggett, and today we are going to profile Barefoot Becky Livermore of Barefoot Becky and the Ivanhoe Dutchman. And on her webpage, in her bio information, she says, mix 3 cups of German-style polka music with 1 cup of Czech music and 1/2 cup each of country, big band, and party favorites. And you've got a recipe for fun with a band that's really cooking. And that's what you get with Barefoot Becky and the Ivanhoe Dutchman of Mount Vernon, Iowa. The band has been playing throughout the United States since 1988, but Becky Livermore's story goes beyond 1988. We're going to find out how old she was when she first started playing and how she got involved with the polka music scene in the Midwest at a very young age. It's a fascinating look at one of the major polka players up here in the upper Midwest. Polka Profiles, Barefoot Becky Livermore is next. Hi, I'm Glenn Broggett with this very special Pioneer Polka Cast exclusive. My guest with us on the telephone is Forever Young. She may have been in the business here in the polka and old time game for nearly 30 years, but she is still dancing, she's still barefoot, and she's still making lots of people smile. She's from the great state of Iowa. We're going to learn about her story, the rest of the band. Oh, we're going to listen to a lot of great information with our guest today. She is definitely a hardcore, tried and true entertainer. And we are so happy to have her on the Polka Cast, all the way from Iowa, Barefoot Becky Livermore. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Sure, you're welcome.
We're going to talk a little bit about your group, Barefoot Becky and the Ivanhoe Dutchman. I want to talk about how this music really became a part of you. Who was the influences, both not only taking you and getting you involved in what was polka and old time, but how did that eventually lead to you picking up an instrument and joining those people on the band instead of just being the mere spectator on the stage? What kind of bit you? What kind of got you? What led you under the spell of the music that you are still playing and still doing to this day?
Well, my mom and dad always took us to polka dances when I was little, and me and my brother and sister, we grew up and learned how to dance, and I guess I just got interested in the musicians on the stage, and one of the bands that performed was actually one of our neighbors, Ed Olchin, the Jolly Bohemians, a friend of the family. So when I started taking lessons, I think I kind of started playing accordion because my aunt had an accordion in her attic, and I was fascinated with that instrument. She really didn't know how to play it. My folks, no really close relative really played any instruments in my family, but she would get it out for me, and we'd kind of tinker around with it, and I decided when I was 10 years old, I wanted to play the accordion. So my mom searched out it was an elderly lady, Esther Zvacek, a good old Czech lady, who only charged $1 a lesson, and that was really cheap. So that's probably the only reason I got to play the accordion, because those lessons were doggone cheap. So I started taking lessons, and I would go over to Ed Olch's house, the band leader, and I'd play for him, and I told him, hey, I want to play in your band. Well, I'm only 10 years old, you know, and so he kept telling me, well, when you get good enough, we'll see what happens. Well, finally, when I was 12 years old, he gave me a call and said he had a job for me to play. So that's kind of where it started.
Taking you away, leaving me lonely. Silver wings, slowly fading out of sight. Don't leave me, I cried. Don't take that airplane ride. You locked me out of your mind and left me standing here behind. Sunlight,
roaring engines, headed somewhere in flight. They're taking you away and leaving me lonely. Silver wings slowly fading out of sight.
Cry, don't take that airplane ride. You lock me out of your mind and left me standing here behind.
Silver wings shining in the sunlight, roaring engines headed somewhere in flight. They're taking you away. Schon auf dich. Deine
lass mir deine Freunde sind die Sterne über Rio und Shanghai, über Bali und Hawaii. Deine Liebe ist ein Schiff, deine Sehnsucht ist die Ferne, und darin bist du treu, dein
years old and you're already gigging. What did he think when he saw this young, enthusiastic girl, you know, not only wanting to just say, hey, I like your band, but hey, can I be in your band? I'm going to learn an instrument. Let me be a part of this group. That must have been kind of taking him aback a little bit, but in the most positive way, you got to think.
I think so. I think he was tickled, really tickled, but he wanted to make sure that I could do it. The first job I played, it was just myself and him on the drums and a tuba player, and I was just kind of reading some of my own music, so I guess you can kind of say it was his band. But when I played with his full band with the horns and his music and everything, the band arrangements, I don't know, maybe that was probably a couple of years later, he actually hired another accordion player to sit alongside me just to make sure that the job would get done, because it was for an anniversary, and, you know, sure. And he didn't want any bad things to happen in case I failed, but I did a pretty doggone good job, and it was a lot of fun. It's kind of where it took off.
I have to ask you, though, those first couple of gigs, how was the nerves? I mean, you're a young kid and you're just so full of fire and spunk, but what was that like to get up in front of everybody? I mean, for these crowds. I mean, there's one thing's enthusiasm, but the other thing is the execution. What was that like to be out there?
Well, I didn't have to talk in the microphone, so that was good, but boy, I was scared to death. You know, the first time I played with a band, you know, mm-hmm. So yeah, I was really scared, but I'm a people person. I like people, and a few times of doing that kind of went away real quick, and so.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. My love could hold. you're crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
Playing when you were school age, what was that like, juggling all the stuff of growing up as well, being a teenager, getting all those things to deal with?
Well, at the time, that band only played a few times a month, so okay. It wasn't too bad to juggle all that. And my accordion lessons, that I only took lessons probably 5 or 6 years because my teacher was elderly and she became ill, and by the time she was ill, I was already playing in the band, so those 5 or 6 years went really quickly, and I always did that on Friday night, so I didn't have to worry about doing homework at the same time.
What was some of the actual reactions of some of your friends and stuff? Were they kind of like taken aback a second, like, whoa? But then once they saw you and they saw your dedication, they kind of understood that this girl's going for it. My friend's going for it.
Yeah, well, I was known as the polka queen in school, and when I was in high school, that's when I took over, when I was a senior in high school, took over Ed Ulch and the Jolly Bohemians. He was retiring, and I said, oh, I don't want the music to die, so I will buy your library from you and continue with the band. And so in high school, I already had this old hippie van that I drove to school, and when the weekend came, you know, the kids would say, oh, there goes the polka queen, gonna go play her polka music for the old folks, you know. So they really didn't understand, and I really didn't care. I think it was just they were curious. They didn't know anything about it. They weren't curious enough to go with me, but they let me do my own thing.
In the twilight mist, in the mountain, in skies above, by a rippling stream, in the mountain, we'll meet again, dear, where we shall love.
you just touched on when Ed decided to step down, and you were so apt to take over and keep the spirit of the music alive. And you said you bought his library. How much of that, you know, was the process of handing things over? And it must have had to be in some sort of a big investment, not only in life, but a little bit with the money, too. I mean, taking over a band is not exactly just small potatoes.
Well, being a senior in high school, I had to get some help from my folks. We had to get a van, and I was able to use the Ed's old PA system until I got my own. The Library of Music, I mean, you got tons of sheet music for 300 or 400 polkas and waltzes for 6 or 7 musicians, so it was quite a big library. I had to pay for that, and it was quite an undertaking for a high schooler, but it was something I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to do it, I knew I could do it, and I renamed the band. I didn't want to really be known as the Jolly Bohemians. You know, we played Czech music, but we also played German music, and some of the bands when I grew up listening to, they all were, you know, Elmer Scheid and the Six Fat Dutchmen, and Ray Dorschner's Rainbow Valley Dutchmen. Everybody had Dutchmen in their name, so I thought, well, I've got to be a Dutchman. So I grew up on the Ivanhoe Road, and still live there today, and so it became the Ivanhoe Dutchmen.
The barefoot thing came about, you know, it was around that time, too, because, I mean, we mentioned this was some other stuff that we were talking about off mic. I said that you had to be had the most hardcore feet on the planet. I mean, you added a gimmick. I mean, you have the barefoot, you're comfortable with it. It's a gimmick that isn't going to cost you a lot of money. May give you a little back pain once in a while. But what made you decide to like throw that moniker Barefoot Becky? Was it just something that just caught on with the listeners, and then you just kind of got it named, or did you have that kind of part of the
design? Started out as Becky and the Ivanhoe Dutchman, and I always went barefoot, and people just started coming up through the years. Oh, barefoot! She's barefoot. Barefoot Becky, and that Barefoot Becky name just kind of kept floating around. So we thought, hey, let's roll with it, because, you know, at that time also, you know, when the band started to play, now it's like Ivanhoe Dutchman doesn't mean as much to people as Barefoot Becky does. So sometimes we don't even use Ivanhoe Dutchman. It's just, hey, Barefoot Becky's playing. So
I have to ask one more question about the transition of how it eventually became Barefoot Becky and the Ivanhoe Dutchman. What were the reaction like of some of the guys that were in the band, having that young whippersnapper take over? Was there any sort of animosities, or was it pretty much a cool transition for some that stuck around?
No, it was a cool transition. I was still, you know, probably 10, 15, 20 years younger than most of the people, so I think they kind of thought, well, let's just see what this girl's got. So I think all was good. I think they all wished me well, and it was all a friendly thing. We'd all played together in the bands anyway, so it was just a matter of me making all the decisions, and I don't think that bothered anybody.
No, I don't think they're going to complain when it comes to that and the paperwork, but it's also another way of passing it on, too, you have to think, too, as well. I mean, from down to your generation, and then you're passing it on, too. It's a real paying forward power of music sort of thing.
Right, right.
Now, you're bound your own, you've got the name, you got it established. When did you realize, hey, this might have some staying power. This is succeeding. I'm doing well on my own. I've stepped out of the shadow. I have my identity with Barefoot Becky and the Ivanhoe Dutchman. What was that like? When was that moment when you really felt sturdy and comfortable?
It probably took maybe 10 or 15 years. You know, we started out just it was something we loved to do. It was just a hobby. Do it on the weekends for, you know, a few beers, a little money, free food maybe. Probably 10 or 15 years before really the name and the music and just getting known started to happen. And we've been doing this full time now, my husband and I, for probably 10 years or more. So now, yeah, this is definitely what we do.
Mm-hmm. And you pay homage to the musicians you've worked with in the past on the polka circuit. And who were some of the bands? Because I know you guys are part of these festival circuits. I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about the Baxter Fest here, too. But I want to know about some of the people you've played with in the circuit that you've been really impressed with, or you've been a chance to collaborate with. Some of the people you've seen along the way that, you know, continue your education.
Well, just in Iowa, we have so few bands in Iowa. I could probably name just two or three on my hand. Moloch's Fisherman and Wayne Ripke, who I don't think plays anymore. I think he has since retired. And then there was always the Nebraska bands, Dean Hansen, Ernie Kuchera. Up in Wisconsin, there was Ray Dorschner and Rainbow Valley Dutchman. Carl and the Country Dutchman, they used to be down here in Illinois. Oh, geez, there's so many names of bands. Ivan Kale, I'm going back on. Some of these people are already passed away and have since. That's some of the people I grew up listening to and shared the stage, was fortunate enough to share the stage with those bands when I was in the early days of our band.
How foolish can you be to be ruled by jealousy? Would you throw away what we planned? Why don't you ask your heart? Ask it if we should part. I need to tell my heart exactly where we stand. So let's have a heart to heart talk. An arm and arm walk. My darling, let's try to see eye to eye, and let's have a heart to heart talk. This world is lonely when you leave me all alone. So let's have a heart to heart talk, and let's have an arm and arm walk. My darling, let's try to see eye to eye, and let's have a heart to heart talk.
I want to talk about some of the places that you, Barefoot Becky, and the Ivan O'Dutchman have played some of the more notable stuff in the past, whether it would be a festival that would stand out, or have you made some television appearances? I know with my parents are still avid fans of watching with Molly B and stuff, and that's the way they're connected to polka at home up there in northern Minnesota. But yeah, could you talk about some of the more memorable occasions, whether, like I said, whether it be a festival, a TV appearance, or something small, whatever level or scale it's on? What's or some of the stuff that you can remember off the top that really stands out for you?
Of course, Molly B Show, like you said, that was fun doing a couple of those programs, and a lot of people watched that. Probably the most I hate to say the most the best or anything, but one of the more memorable one was in 1996. We were one of the bands that got to represent Iowa. Iowa was celebrating its 150th. I guess it was a sesquicentennial at 150, and our state got to represent itself out in Washington, D.C. on a National Mall, so our band got to perform out there for a week or two, and so that was a very good experience. Some of the other just fun festivals, going down to Florida, Cape Coral, for 2 weeks, they have a great Oktoberfest, that's a good time. Just going down to Texas and Arizona for a month in the winter, that's always fun, seeing different people, different faces. There's just so many different festivals and dances and stuff, but I guess that's what comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know what made you get into this Baxter Fest. I want to know a little bit about this here. What in the devil? You decided this. I want to hear about the story because I like the name. That's just awesome. That's just Baxter Fest. It just kind of rolls off the tongue.
Well, I've had some musicians that referred to me as Baxter, just as kind of a nickname. Yeah. Some of the musicians that I know. Uh-huh. I enjoy organizing things. And I thought, well, you know, I would love to organize a festival. And I thought, well, why not call it the Baxter Fest? Because I really couldn't think of any other name, and I really didn't want to call it a polka fest, because some of these fests are turning into more of a variety and, you know, I don't know.
Hodgepodge of music, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so I thought, well, let's just call it the Baxter Fest. It's my festival. We'll call it Baxter Fest. So that's kind of where the name came from. And it's just something I always wanted to do, and so I did it. The RV park in Amana, Iowa, it started out, I don't know how many years it's been there, but it just started out as one teeny little building, and that's all that was out there, a building. And it did have electricity, but finally, year after year, it finally became, it got showers, and then it got heat and air conditioning, and then they built another big 12,000-foot square building. They put heat and air in that. And finally, when it got to a point, I thought, you know what? It's ready for a polka fest, because it's right in the middle of the RV park. People can come down, take their RV. There's hotels right in the area also. It was just the ideal location, really. And we're centrally located, as far as I'm concerned, as far as Omaha, Nebraska, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Chicago, Kansas, and St. Louis, Missouri. That's all in a 5-hour radius. So we're kind of in the central hub of a lot of major cities. So I thought, let's have a polka fest. Yeah, yeah, why not?
Someone stole the kishka. Someone stole the kishka. Someone stole the kishka. From the butcher shop. Hey, who stole the kishka? Who stole the kishka? Who stole the kishka? Someone called the cops. Round and firm and fully packed, it was hanging on the rack. Someone stole the kishka when I turned my back. Hey, who stole the kishka? Who stole the kishka? Who stole the kishka? Someone called the cops. You can have my blue suede shoes, but don't you take my kishka. Who stole the kishka? Who stole the kishka? Who stole the kishka? Someone called the cops.
Since you mentioned that your location is so prime to get out there, how many gigs does Barefoot Becky, the Ivanhoe Dutchman, play per year on average?
Oh, I'd say around 200. We play 3 to 5 times a week, you know, just depending on what the week looks like. If we're home 2 days a week, that's about it. So got a lot of everything from ballroom dancing to festivals to small little parties, casinos and banks and church things, and you know, we do get into nursing homes. Mm-hmm. And one reason that I think we are playing quite a bit also is because not only do we go as the full 5-piece band, but we can go as a 4, as a 3, or even 2. My husband and I go out as a 2-piece quite a bit. In fact, we're playing tomorrow for a small little church dinner thing. To be able to go down to a combo really allows us to play a lot and for a lot of different things.
I saw Esau sitting on a seesaw. I saw Esau sitting there.
Got a seesaw, off the seesaw.
I saw Esau sitting on a seesaw. I saw Esau
that time playing and stuff through the years, you guys have managed, you and the boys have managed to release several albums through the years. And now, what was the experience like going from that first time in the studio, and then once you've kind of established what you need to do, what was it like making those albums from that point on? I mean, you have a few in the back catalog. We place a lot of your music here, so I know you guys have definitely taken your time to put out some really good stuff for the listeners through the years.
Yeah, the only time that I went into a real studio, is when we did a recording for the Smithsonian. Otherwise, my husband has a studio, and we've always had it down in our basement or in our house. It's a little bit different feeling than going into a totally foreign, somebody else's studio. We've always had our own studio to go into to make recordings, so a lot more relaxed, I think. It is fun to make recordings. It is stressful to make recordings, but yeah, we've done a lot of them, and in fact, we're working on another one now, and so it's just a lot of fun to create music and try to figure out what people want to hear.
Mm-hmm. And fans can find these albums. That you have a website, a place of information where they can get those records if they're listening today?
Yeah, barefootbecky.com.
Let's have a party tonight. We'll bring the music for your delight. Roll out the barrel, spread out the cheer. We'll play a polka for everybody here. Come to the party, join with your friends, singing and dancing till evening ends. We'll drink a toast till the barrel runs dry. Let's have a party tonight. Let's have a party tonight.
Okay, I got one more question. It's just kind of a serious question. You know, I want to know what your thoughts are. I asked this question in previous interviews with other polka players. What are your thoughts on the future of polka and old time music? Do you think it will be able? Do you think it'll be able to find a way to sustain and be this cross generational thing that still carries that 8 to 88 or any age moniker?
Ah, the big question of the century. Everybody asks that. You know, I was been asked that, you know, 10 or 15, 20 years ago. How much longer do you think you're going to keep playing and keep playing as much as you do? Well, like I said, they've asked me that 15 years ago. We're still doing it today, and I don't know. It will change, and it has changed. Some things have gone away. Other things have popped up. I think you'll always find Oktoberfest. Everybody wants to have an Oktoberfest, and everybody's ready for a polka band at Oktoberfest. That'll never go away. And there's a lot of German restaurants and things like that, and Czech restaurants as far as that goes, ethnic restaurants that still have music, and I don't think that'll ever go away. Some of the ballrooms, yes, they've closed. Dancing, I think, is not something that's like it used to be back in wartime when there wasn't so many things like TVs and cell phones and things to do. You know, people went dancing. That was a social thing to do. Not quite so anymore, but I still think there's a place for it. You know, what the answer is and what the future brings, I don't really know, but I hope there's still a place to play our music as much as we are playing today, so we will see. I kind of have a theory. I think, you know, for me, I grew up with the music, and I think a lot of people my age did, and I think some of these people, they go away from that polka music, and they do other things, but I think as they get older and become retired and become, you know, 70s, 80s, I think they kind of go back to their roots. You know, the rock and roll isn't something they want to hear anymore. I think it's more of, hey, what did I grow up with? Oh, that polka music that mom and dad made me listen to that either I hated or I liked, you know. Let's get back into that. And I think a lot of people do, because I hear that a lot from people. Oh, yeah, mom and dad, we always had to listen to this polka show or go to this dance or something. They didn't like it then, but now it kind of grows on them. So I hope people still keep taking some of their younger people to dances. I think down in Texas and Oklahoma, in that area, you see a lot of young families and a lot of kids. These people still carry on the tradition a lot more than Iowa does. So if you see that, I think the tradition will still continue. So we'll see.
Whoa, strawberries, raspberries, good wine that I drank. There are friends gathered around. Not often I do thank. Oh, those strawberries, raspberries, good wine that I drank. There are friends gathered around. Not often I do thank. It wasn't long ago I tasted that sweet wine. With pleasure that it was, I'd never had that kind. It brought new life to me, some joy and gratitude. I shared my joy with friends, it changed my attitude. Oh, those strawberries, raspberries, good wine that I drank. There are friends gathered around, that often I do thank. Oh, those strawberries, raspberries, good wine that I drank. There are friends gathered around, that often I do thank. Dance.
right. I want to thank you so very much, Barefoot Becky, from Barefoot Becky and the Ivanhoe Dutchman. Oh, come out if you see their name on the marquee, if it's part of a polka bill or if they're headlining all by themselves. Check it out. You're going to have a great evening or an afternoon or even a good church mass with these guys. They're fun. And they're keeping the spirit alive. They're keeping us connected to our own history and our ethnicity. I want to thank you so much for keeping this music alive, Becky.
Thanks, and thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Polka Profiles, Barefoot Becky of Barefoot Becky and the Ivanhoe Dutchman. A big thank you to Becky Livermore for all of her time and information and also the music. It was a pleasure to speak with you, and we hope to have you somewhere down the line with another Polka Profile for us. Also, a big thank you must go out to the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, the Legacy Fund, for helping to bring to life programs like Polka Profiles. Polka Profiles was recorded at the Pioneer 90.1 KSRQ Studios on the campus of Northland Community and Technical College, Thief River Falls, Minnesota, in November 2016. For Polka Profiles, I'm Glenn Broggett. So long for now.